Summer is right around the corner, and make it your best season yet with nutritious 2-minute meals from Factor. Eating well has never been this easy. All you need to do is heat it up and enjoy, giving you more time to do what you want. Get outside instead of prepping and cooking indoors. Factor meals arrive fresh and ready to eat, perfect for any active lifestyle. I've been absolutely loving my Factor meals. I have so many options to choose from, and they all are nutritious and healthy and so easy to heat up and eat. Factor powers your day with satisfying breakfasts, on-the-go lunches, premium dinners, and guilt-free snacks and desserts. So it's easy to savor more this season because Factor meals pack in the flavor with none of the fuss. So get started at factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50off and use code barbknowsbest50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code barbknowsbest50off at factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50off for 50% off plus free shipping.
Hey friends, welcome back to Life Happens. As part of our podcast once a month, we'll be answering your questions based on our monthly theme. We get so many thoughtful questions after each episode, and we wanted to take the time to address them and share our insights with all of you.
With May being Mental Health Awareness Month in the United States, Canada, and other parts of the world, we're focusing on mental health and building emotional resilience.
We've got some great questions lined up, so let's dig in, talk about how we can build resilience and take charge of our mental well-being. I'm so excited to start this first Q&A in this new iteration of the podcast. We have so many amazing questions that our listeners and viewers have sent in, and I'm thrilled to dive into them. So many to choose from, so juicy. So this is a question that we got that I feel like we get a lot of versions of this question often, and I'm really excited that we can hopefully break it down for everyone. Mom, when life feels uncertain and unstable, what are your best tips for letting go and finding a sense of grounding?
I love that.
The very easy topic of letting go. What are your easy tips for doing that?
Yeah, and the easy topic of grounding ourselves is very – this is such a great question. Thank you who sent this in. And I also just wanted to say to you, this is one of our favorite things to do in our work.
Yes, and you love Q&A.
I love Q&As. I love hearing from all of you, and I love the opportunity to share more of our personal experiences in trying to help you find some kind of ease and action in your question. So
whenever we do an event or a talk or a workshop, you're always like, we have to have a Q&A. Yeah. So here's your Q&A.
There you go. Here we go. So I would just say to flip that, what are the best tips for grounding, for finding a sense of grounding and letting go? Because I think trying to let go right away has never worked for me. I know that everyone says you have to let go and you have to be able to forgive and you have to be able to let it go and stay in the present moment. You know, that is a thing.
Well, can I say something?
Yes, you can.
Letting go is a part of your book, The Practice.
I know. So,
it is a huge thing.
It is a huge thing, but it's not the first thing.
Yeah.
That's not the first thing because I don't know – for me, it's not been easy to just say, let go. I've had to have some things before that. Yeah. And it makes sense because the most important thing before that is grounding myself in myself. Because if I'm feeling uncertain, especially uncertainty is very prevalent, not only in life all the time, forever on this planet, but right now especially. Mm-hmm. And unstable was the key word in this question for me. Unstable is huge. When I'm feeling unstable, we all feel unstable from time to time. But for me, feeling unstable is a kind of a siren or a red light that says stop.
For you.
For me. Mm-hmm. And okay, now we need to ground yourself. Somehow you're unstable because you are so...
Like you're grounded, but in a good way for adults.
Huh?
You know, like when you're a kid, you're grounded.
Oh, man.
Now you're grounded.
Yes.
It's a sign to ground.
It's a sign to ground.
Ground yourself.
I got it. You're so funny. It's a sign to ground. It's a sign that, oh, my gosh, if I'm feeling that unstable, unbalanced, whatever the word is that you might be feeling in the moment of this uncertainty and instability is to really what's happening. And for me, what's always happening in that moment is I'm too focused on the external world. Mm. I'm too focused on what's happening. I'm totally fear-based and I don't know what to do and what am I going to do? And the outside world is so upsetting or so volatile. and I'm so fear-based. But in reality, the outside world is always volatile, is always changing, is always unpredictable. So ground yourself first. And the way that I ground myself in situations like this, but this is a practice that I do every single morning before I start the day. I ground myself and put myself first. Mm-hmm. I really make it a practice, like, this moment and this time is all about me, because the most important thing that I can do in this moment of time is to get myself centered, mm-hmm. so that I can handle all of the chaos and all of the uncertainty that life is going to send my way. So I put myself first. I don't put energy into other people. I do what I need to do. You know, I'm cooking meals that I may have to cook for my children, or I'm going to work that I have to do, but I'm not ruminating over, oh my gosh, I've got to do all of these things.
You're talking about the first thing in the morning.
I'm talking about all day long. I'm talking about having the intention that I have to put myself first, so I can't ruminate about, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? My son has a test next week or next month, and I need to do all, you know how we go way ahead in our mind and we start thinking about things that are happening in the future? I'm saying we forget all of that for now, or we don't put that as a priority for now. We really look at the mind and say, wait a minute, I need to take care of myself first. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean, as I just said, doing all the normal jobs that we have to do during the day. It just means that I'm setting the intention that in my life right now and in my day, I'm not going to put any focus or energy out worrying about things that aren't even happening right now. Because I can't. I'm feeling uncertain and I'm feeling unstable.
Right.
I'm looking at your face. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
It does. So I think what you're saying is that in times of great uncertainty, or when you're lacking clarity or feeling doubtful about yourself.
And instability.
Instability.
Yes.
Emotional and everything, that you really have to be hyper-focused on connecting back with yourself and staying present in the moment and taking the next right action, or connecting with yourself and listening to your inner voice, rather than maybe adding in the external chatter of everything else that's going on. You have to recommit to the practice of doing that, because that's what's important at that moment in time.
Yes. And even if you can't do some of those things that you just said, even if you just have the practice of, I'm putting myself first, even if every morning you woke up and said, I have to put myself first, what do I need? Like, I'll wake up sometimes when I'm feeling like this. What do you need today, Barb? What is it that you need today? Like, really focusing.
Talk to yourself,
but you're also going to do all the other things for other people and all of that. I'm not saying don't do that, but really your full-on intention and desire right now is to get myself stable, mm-hmm. to get myself planted and grounded. And I'll use affirmations, like, I love Maya Angelou. She's one of my favorite teachers and people. And so I use this all the time. Every storm runs out of rain, mm-hmm. like knowing that, wait a minute. And so what I'm doing is rebuilding my confidence,
right?
Rebuilding the fact that I've got this. I truly do. I'm an accomplished person. Whoever wrote this, you're accomplished. You've got whatever you have going on. It's just that life has thrown you off balance. It's like you're in a rowboat in the middle of the ocean, mm-hmm. and it's like the storm comes in.
Your metaphors are always top tier.
So this too shall pass. Every storm runs out of rain. And whenever you start to wander with the mind going into the, oh gosh, all the uncertainty, all the instability, all the things you have to do, all the worry, mm-hmm. you just, wait a minute, let me just take a breath here.
Yeah.
Every storm runs out of rain. This is going to pass. Just constantly reminding myself that this will pass. I'm feeling this way, but if I just put myself first and stay grounded in the confidence and the knowing that I have, that I can handle this, I've got this, I will regain the confidence and the faith and the trust in myself. Mm-hmm. I am a trustworthy person for myself. And this is the way that I have found to be able to do that, and allowing myself to feel the feelings, of course. I'll ask myself, what's causing me in this moment to feel uncertain?
Right.
In the quietness of a day, like before you even start the day or before you go to bed, Barb, what's causing you to feel uncertain?
Yeah.
And then just sitting and pausing for a minute and let the answer come.
Yeah. The practice of really talking to yourself.
And allowing you to feel the feelings, and the answer might come, because this is what happened to me. This is experience. I'm in the middle of a divorce after 33 years. That's why I'm feeling uncertain. Oh, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But you know you've got this.
Yeah.
You know, like having that, you're your best friend. You talk about this all the time, Michelle. You're your best friend. You're your best ally. You've got this. And just reminding yourself who you are. And so I do have a grounding exercise that I do when it really gets where I'm unstable. And I did this during the pandemic because that was where I was going through the bulk of the divorce. Just go outside. And even if it's cold, you can do any version of this that you have to, even in your own house. But the more you could get to the earth somehow, or the snow, or the rain, even standing in the rain, every storm runs out of rain. It's kind of a cool metaphor for actually visualizing what you're trying to do. I go outside, I stand outside. I did this all the time with my dog during the pandemic, and just stand there and close your eyes. Literally just barefoot. Stand there barefoot,
yeah.
If you can. If you can't, keep your shoes on.
But just really feeling your feet planted on the ground.
Yeah. And there's that affirmation you and I use all the time, be where your feet are, just bringing yourself into the present moment. There's a magical thing, and I say magical because you don't even know that it's going to happen, and even if you don't believe it, trust it. Like, believe me that I'm telling you I went through a 33-year divorce and this worked. Like, it's that kind of thing, because that's how I get through things. I believe other people that have done what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
So believe yourself. Like, okay, I got this. Every storm runs out of rain. Like, I've got this. Be where your feet are. When you start to worry, I can't deal with that worry. I can't change other people. Let me just be where my feet are.
Yeah.
So I do that just even a minute.
Yeah.
Even a minute. But if you could do it for a couple of minutes and just maybe add on, do a minute for a week, then do 2 minutes the next week, or however long it's going to take you to feel like, I got this. I don't feel so unstable. I feel more balanced, or I feel grounded. I feel like the grounding that has to take place is the grounding in yourself and your confidence in knowing that you are extraordinary, mm-hmm. that you've got this. You haven't, what is that quote, Michelle, that we use? You've survived 100% of your days.
Hardest days.
Hardest days. Yeah. Thank you. And you're here.
Yeah.
You're in this situation right now where you have the opportunity now to ground some more and to really boost your confidence and your clarity and your knowing some more.
Mm-hmm. And I would just add on to that rather than having judgment or frustration or disappointment that you might be in a phase of uncertainty or instability or feeling like you have self-doubt, just can you try to accept it and see what that period is trying to tell you? Because I do believe that each part of our lives is teaching us something, and can we learn from whatever that is? And is there a change that you're being called to make? Or do you need to speak up about something? Or do you need to set a boundary? Or do you need to pivot in some way? You know, sometimes these feelings are rising to the surface so that we can take an action on it. So rather than pushing them away or just, you know, flailing about in frustration, what is underneath it?
I love that, Michelle. So I have a question for you.
Yes.
That this is handmade for you. This person that wrote this knew that you would be the perfect person to answer it because you are an empath. And mm-hmm. so I know that this is something that you have struggled with. So they write, how do you navigate the challenges of being an empath or highly sensitive person while managing overwhelming emotions? Good
very,
luck.
Very easy, yeah. Lighthearted questions. Yeah.
These are good, by the way. This is yes. why we love answering questions. I love being on the path with all of you.
Yeah. So firstly, I would define an empath as someone who is very affected by or empathetic to the external world. And oftentimes their feelings are impacted by the things that are going on around them. So oftentimes someone else's mood can influence how you feel, or world events can take a toll. And what I've noticed, at least in myself, that it's very easy to kind of take on responsibility for like everything that's happening for the world around you. And that naturally can lead to a lot of overwhelm and burnout and indifference and despair, because how can one person manage all of that? And yeah, that's something that I relate to a lot. And I think a lot of our listeners do, because if you're listening or watching this show, you likely have empathy and compassion for people, and you want to be a part of a solution that helps others. And so this has been a really interesting practice for me, because You know, I remember during the pandemic, when the pandemic started, there was a meme going around that was like, we're living in unprecedented times and I'm just wanting a precedented time again. And I thought that that was so funny. And now here we are 5 years later and it's like the unprecedented times feel more precedented than like anything else, which I don't know if that makes sense, but it just, for me, it means that life is extremely chaotic and there's so much that we have to manage and there's so much going on around us. And because we have technology and social media and the internet, we are more aware of what's going on around the world than ever before. So,
could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environments right now. I had no idea. They're in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. But the good news is we don't have to suffer through this anymore because of Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And here's what's cool about them. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like hormonal changes or the environment around us. Happy Mammoth is the company that created Hormone Harmony, and they're dedicated to making women's lives easier. How amazing is that? And this means that they only use science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. The biggest benefit of all of this, you can start to feel like yourself again. And this is what women mention over and over in their reviews online, and there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code BARBKNOWSBEST for 15% off today. I'm going to let you all in on a little secret. My mom and I have always been a big berry family, which means we've always had berries in the fridge, which is why I've been absolutely loving Washington Red Raspberries. They are the shortcut to delicious because Washington Red Raspberries are picked at peak ripeness and frozen within hours to lock in bright, sweet tart flavor with no added sugars or preservatives. Just the good stuff. I've been loving having these frozen berries in my freezer so I can put them in smoothies, put them in baked goods, all of the delicious stuff without all of the fuss. These berries aren't a byproduct of fresh. They're crafted specifically to be frozen, which means they're better texture, better taste, and better results in your kitchen. They're grown by passionate farmers in Washington State, and they're frozen with care to ensure the top quality and food safety. Plus, frozen fruit lasts longer, helps cut food waste, and is always ready when you are, which we absolutely love. You can find Washington Red Raspberries in the frozen fruit section of most major grocery retailers like Kroger, Meijer, Winco Foods, and Costco. And always make sure to look for the product of the U.S. on the bag. They're also featured in popular products like Smucker's Uncrustables with red raspberry filling, as well as Smucker's Raspberry Jam. So, want to learn more on where to find American frozen red raspberries plus recipe ideas and cooking tips? Head to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find participating retailers and inspiration for every meal, plus info on how those berries can go from farm to freezer with quality you can taste. Do you remember when I talked about True Diagnostics True Age Test? Well, I took that test myself and the results absolutely blew my mind. By taking the test, I found out my biological age, which directly predicts my risk for serious diseases. And here's why that matters. Research shows that if your biological age is even 5 years older than your actual age, your risk of developing diseases like cancer or heart disease can jump by as much as 30 to 50%, which is huge and completely avoidable. The good news is nearly 90% of biological aging is in your hands. Of course, it's driven by things like lifestyle, habits, and the environment you're in, but you do still have a lot of control. I took the True Age test and I just learned so much about my health, wellness, and what I can do to be more in control of how I feel and how I'm aging. The test didn't just give me a number, it showed me how quickly my heart, brain, liver, and immune system are aging, which of course was eye-opening. The best thing is the test itself is super easy and convenient. I did it from home, no doctor visit or big needles, just a quick, painless finger prick. You send that tiny sample off in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get a detailed online report about your aging and your health. Fast and hassle-free. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use our code BARBKNOWSBEST to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com and use code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
Two things that I would say to that. One, and I don't, this isn't helpful, but I think it's just a fact or it's truth about the situation. I don't know, as human beings, we were ever meant to know so much about each other constantly. Like, I don't know if I'm supposed to know what someone is having for breakfast on the other side of the world every single day. And that's, you know, the lighthearted surface level nature of it. We know so much about human suffering, about injustices, about the really difficult aspects of the human nature. And yes, it's important to be aware of it, but being bombarded by it 24/7 is a lot.
And it's so graphic.
Yeah, of course.
It's so visual and graphic today.
So I think just, if nothing else, being aware that it's really complicated to be a human being at this time, in such a messy time, knowing so much. And so if you grapple with or struggle with being an empath or being overly sensitive and emotional, just give yourself grace and know that it's hard. But second, I would say that boundaries, of course, are hugely important, especially when you're dealing with regulating your emotions in difficult times. And, you know, I'll never tell someone not to cut themselves off from the world, because I think it's important to be connected. But be the scientist of your life. Like you say all the time, Mom, where do you find that you're spending too much energy in places and spaces that are really depleting you? And how can you set a boundary there? And then what can you do to refill your cup? Like, I remember during the pandemic, you were the one, because we were not living in the same house at that time, but we lived 5 minutes away from each other, and we did, you know, what was that word? We coexisted together. We weren't quarantined together, but we were in like a pod, you know?
Well, we went and we drove around and we went to the beach.
Right, we were together, even though we didn't live together.
But we didn't live together. But
right. No,
that was
but,
weird.
You know, you didn't see people unless they were in your pod. Yes.
Yes, but we did see each other.
Anyways,
I remember it being called a pod. That's cool.
I couldn't remember the
word.
You were
in my pod?
Yeah. Okay. A pod of two. Two peas in a pod.
Okay.
I would come over to your house.
Yes.
And the news would just be on 24/7.
That was a weird time for me, yes.
It's not like you.
No. And I...
And it was impacting you greatly, especially when you think about...
Yeah.
You were so... laser focused on the very tragic and devastating numbers that were rising for people who were dying.
Yeah.
And it was impacting you greatly.
Yes.
So I guess talk about how you handled that.
Well, it was. And I just wanted to say something about what you've already said. You are an empath. And I think one of the things, just from my viewpoint, I don't necessarily call myself an empath, but I am very highly sensitive.
Right.
Things affect me. I think for me, the difference between the two of us, and I'm not a psychologist and I have no idea, I just know from our experiences, what I see are the differences is I can draw a little bit of a separation between the suffering that's happening and not take it on myself.
Right.
But take on the activism, I guess, is the word that's coming to my mind, to help try to alleviate it if I can, but not actually take on the person suffering. Because I learned a long time ago, really when I started my meditation practice, that if we're wanting to be someone, I wanted to be someone who could create change. I am an activist. I am someone who wants to see humanity thrive, all beings everywhere. So if you want that, I learned through my practice and through a lot of the teachers that I studied with that you have to have a little bit of a separation, not take on their total suffering, because then you can't, then you could become
taken out.
Yeah, you get taken out. You can't do the actions that you need to take. So I am able to do that. So what Michelle's referring to, though, during COVID, during the pandemic, I'm not a TV watcher. No. I'm not a news watcher for sure, but I do keep myself.
Yeah, you stay up to date in other ways.
Yeah, and especially you really inform me a lot. Mostly. But also I do. I like to read headlines. I don't want to know other people's opinions. I just want to know what the facts are, and then I make my own opinions. So, but for some reason, during the pandemic, I had the TV on 24/7 because it was overwhelming me how many people were dying. And then it just kept on going day after day after day, especially when it started with Italy and I saw those people and I saw the people in the windows singing. It just, it, and I could feel myself becoming overwhelmed. But for whatever reason in that moment, it took you coming over and saying, Mom, you have to stop this.
Right.
This is not even you. I don't even know what version of you this is. So I think there are two
things. We were role reversal. That would be me and I was you.
I just couldn't imagine. I kept waiting for the day that something was going to come on the news that it was over or that they found the answer or whatever, because I just couldn't imagine that I was living in a time that so many people were dying. But then when I think back, I mean, I'm 68 years old. You know,
we've seen it before.
Yeah, I've seen wars. I've seen all kinds of things. But for whatever reason, this was so. I've never been quarantined before, so maybe that had it. Anyway.
In a pod with me.
In a pod with you. So anyway, that was one thing, like you said, to really know yourself and understand or have someone else is where I'm getting at. Having another person, if you are an empath or highly sensitive, say, wait a minute, I see this is affecting you.
Yeah, that's very
And not
true.
Taking it personally, not saying, hey, you don't know. You know, like having that trusted person that can say to you, it's too much.
Yeah.
And then we had our other friend, Lewis, would come over and he would say, you know, Barbara Christine, get off the news. He could tell that it was affecting me. So that would be another way, is if really listen or have that trusted friend or have someone that feels comfortable and confident enough to speak up and say, hey, you know, back off a little bit. And it doesn't mean you don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you aren't passionate. It doesn't mean you don't love. It just means that for you to be the, you know, the extraordinary person that you are, you have to be able to back off just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes for both empaths, which is who you are, and highly sensitive, which is who I am.
Yeah. And I think as kind of, this is a great question to come off of that question, because I think a lot of people who are empaths or empathetic or just generally aware of their surroundings can tend to fall into caring about what other people think and being overly having their thoughts think about that very often. And so this question for you, Mom, is how do you handle the struggle of worrying about what others think, especially when faced with false narratives or misconceptions about you?
That's huge. And it does follow this question beautifully. So I guess I'll look at, I mean, the best example I can use is the 33-year marriage that just ended in 2023. I had a lot of worries and a lot of concerns, and I knew that what I was doing was the right thing. I knew that us getting divorced after 33 years was the right thing, but I had all these, what are people going to think of me?
Yeah.
You know, even
What's
though I have a practice 40 years, it doesn't mean that you don't fall into these situations or places in your life where you're, what's the story? What are people going to think? You know, I don't really want to talk about it, where people are going to have their own misconceptions. And of course, that is what ended up happening and all those things. And so I started to ruminate about that. But I do have a practice of when I start to ruminate, I actually, even if it's for a day or an hour or a week, you know, there's no time limit how the mind can overthink and ruminate and take us down into a place where, oh my gosh, I'm having trouble functioning. Luckily, it was during COVID, during the pandemic, so I was by myself most of the time, except for having the interaction with you. And I woke up one morning thinking, wait a minute, I haven't, like, it's reminding yourself who you are. There is a little break and there is a little wedge in the worry. So first of all, worry is the past or the future. It's one of those. Usually it's the future. Ruminating
is
about
the
past.
Future and have regret or remorse about
exactly.
the past.
But sometimes we worry about what the past could, and that's kind of what I was doing. What are some of the past things I've said and done that will come back to haunt me with the people that I want to still be my friends because I'm getting divorced? So it was a weird thing.
You were writing a lot of stories.
Oh my gosh. So that's the thing. Thank you for saying that. That's the thing. When I find myself writing stories, and I say the pandemic was not a blessing, obviously, but it really solidified it for me. I hadn't even talked to any of these people. I hadn't even talked to anyone. I hadn't even been out in public.
It worked out very well for you that you were kind of closed off from the external world so that you could really process how you wanted to emerge and handle and tackle the divorce.
Exactly. So it was a huge teaching. Everything is a teaching, as you said. So I just remembered, because it was still causing me a lot of suffering, even though I was in my house suffering.
Yeah.
You know, worrying about this and wondering and writing stories. So I was feeling a lot of suffering. I woke up one morning and said, I'm tired of suffering, and reminded myself who I am. Barbara, whatever's being said, and you don't even know what it is, you can handle it. And heaven knows half of it isn't probably happening, because you know the mind, 85% of the thoughts that the mind thinks are negative, are false, aren't even true. So I just reminded myself of all of the things that I know to be true. And I share this stat with you, if you are the person who wrote this or anyone, 85% of what you think is negative. And then like another 75% of those negative thoughts are repetitive all day long. So it's no wonder we worry, or no wonder we're beat up, or no wonder we're tired. So I just kept reminding myself who I am, and knowing, and I learned this in all of my practice, that no one, mm-hmm. no one, put this on your bathroom mirror, which I have a lot of stuff on my mirror, no one has the power to define or name who you are. So even if some of these things I was thinking, the 15% that might be true, I can handle it.
Right.
They don't have any power over me. So all that worrying and ruminating, I'm giving them all my power and taking away my energy. So that understanding that, and only being with people, setting the boundaries you talked about earlier, with people who are your people.
Yeah. I think what's great about what you've been saying here about not worrying about what other people think is that it's true. People are going to be judgmental and probably have thoughts about you that if you knew would really hurt you. I wouldn't be naive to think that we live in a world that isn't that way. And as an empath, it's been a real practice and journey for me to let that go. But what's been really helpful for me is to remember that, A, not everyone has to like me, and it's impossible for everyone to like me.
Because I don't like everyone.
Right.
That's the thing I always say to myself if I'm people-pleasing. I don't have to like – not everyone has to like me because I don't like everyone.
Right. And B, it's not my job to make everyone like me. And C, even if someone has that awful judgment about me, it, like you said, it doesn't name who I am. It doesn't define me. And it's really none of my business. I don't need to know what someone else is thinking. And if they want to believe misconceptions, or if they want to write stories about me, fine. Like,
you can't
at
do
some point,
about
you have
anyway.
To let it go. And, you know, if they're really wreaking havoc, hopefully you have someone in your life or people in your life that will stand up for you and help you speak your truth or support you in that way. I think that the Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz really talks about not taking things personally in a really digestible way. That was one of the first books I ever read when I entered this world of personal development and self-help. And of course, taking things personally was like huge for me. And again, still working on it. It's still a practice for me. But the words that he writes and speaks about this topic are hugely helpful. Mm-hmm. And I refer to it often, especially when I need reinforcement that it doesn't have anything to do with me. It's not my business. I can just let it go. I don't need to spend my mental energy worrying about what other people think. Think about, you only have a finite time and energy and resources in life in every single day. Why are you going to spend that precious time and energy thinking about something like that? That's not going to serve you.
No, and you always say clean up your own side of the street and stay on your own side of the street. And I always translated cleaning up your own side of the street as this, because this is something that I did worry about a lot and do from time to time, thinking that, oh, what if I did this? Or what if I had only done that? And that's why I say worrying about the past sometimes, then things would be differently. Oh, maybe if I changed myself,
yeah,
I could fix it, or I could fix them, or they would change. Useless, useless. You cannot fix anyone else. You cannot change. Like you said, it's not your responsibility. You can't change them. You can't fix them. So cleaning up your side of the street for me means focusing on myself, putting myself first in this situation and saying, wait a minute. You know, I can't change anything. I can't change misconceptions, as you said. Let me just be the other second agreement of Don Miguel's is be impeccable with my word,
yeah.
Be aligned with who I am, ground myself in who I am, and that is enough.
Yeah.
And I am enough. And what everybody else thinks and does is not my business or not my problem.
Also, if someone is truly committed to being wrong about you,
they're not your people.
Like, let them be wrong. Yeah. It's not worth trying to convince someone. I don't need to convince anyone of my worthiness, of my ability to be loved, of my validity, of any of that, of my purpose. It's not worth it. No. So if that's what you want to think, enjoy. But I'm going to go live over here.
And you can't do it. It's not possible.
No.
So, and our last question, Michelle.
Yes.
This is a cool one. In your daughter's opinion, what makes Barb such an amazing mom? Makes me kind of teary-eyed.
Did you write this? I'm just kidding.
I did. No, I did not.
This is a great question.
Reading it is very moving.
Yeah.
You know, thank you for even thinking that.
Yes. And it's true. You are an amazing mom. And this is a great question. And I'm not surprised that we got it because I know that there's so many of our listeners and people who follow you on social media that often refer to you as like their internet mom or maybe the mom that they didn't have or that they wish they had or something like that. And so I'm so happy that people see that in you and it is authentic and true. But I would say that from my lived experience as your actual daughter, what makes you such an amazing mom is your openness and willingness to not judge me as a flawed human and the compassion that you have for me and others to make choices and make mistakes and be supportive through it all. Of course, there's millions of other attributes that make you really special and loving and supportive, but I know, especially in adulthood, but in recent periods of my life when I've made a lot of mistakes and been in situations where I had a lot of judgment for myself and thought that maybe there's no road out of that. There were so many times where you could have doubled down and said, yeah, you messed up. This is really bad. I don't know what you're going to do. Or
I told you not to
I
do
didn't,
that.
Or, yeah. Or I didn't raise you this way. Or you're not who I thought you were. Any of those things. Mm-hmm. You could have reinforced some sort of negative thought or belief that I had already had and made the situation worse. And you don't do that. You are always saying, we can handle it. Or you've got this. Yeah, it might be really difficult right now, but this isn't going to last forever. Nothing has the power to define who you are. And I feel really grateful for that because as humans, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to get ourselves into trouble. It's going to be really difficult, but it's important to have someone in your camp that will support you regardless. And I don't necessarily love the term or the concept of unconditional love because I think that you're not going to blindly support me if I do something wrong, but you're going to help me figure it out and course correct, if that makes sense. Like, you're not always condoning what I say or what I do, but you love who I am. And that, I think, is more powerful and supportive.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much. You know that. I want to say one thing to that. First of all, for me, unconditional love is that I will always love you no matter what. So there is that unconditional love. There is nothing that you can do or say that will ever break the bond of my love for you.
I guess condoning.
Is there unconditional behavior?
Right.
No.
That's what I meant.
No. No, of course not. You know, and I think I appreciate you so much. And as a mother, I just want to say back to mothers that are listening that one of the greatest things that I have learned is, number one, I am a flawed human.
Yeah.
So if I can understand that about myself, I'm still extraordinary. You're extraordinary. We're all extraordinary. But if we can actually have the ability to own that we are not perfect and that we don't have to be perfect. And oh my goodness, if Michelle doesn't think I'm perfect and know everything, then what's going to happen? Then I'm a failure as a mother. Mm-hmm. If I'm not just the perfect person and she doesn't think that I know everything. We can't be that way because we're not that way. It's impossible. So I would just say, as a mother, saying I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was wrong. You are right. Let's talk. Like having the vulnerability with your children, being vulnerable, saying, oh my gosh, you were right. Nothing builds, I think, another person's confidence than being told that they're right about something when they kind of think they are anyway, and maybe they are, and you don't want to admit it.
Validating experience.
Exactly. So I would say doing that. And I also think that no matter what the behavior is, if the person always feels loved, which is what I think you were saying, which is so beautiful. I love that so much because that's how I feel. And it matters. Then you can kind of deal with whatever behaviors, and the person doesn't feel like they're going to be abandoned. Because I think part of what keeps behaviors escalating is feeling like I'm on my own now. I'm abandoned. I got to do this on my own now. And that's really hard, I think, as a child to think that about parents. And I've been through that before, so I understand it. And the other thing is, I think that that's what I had a very difficult relationship with my mother. It's not a secret. You know it. Everybody knows that I talk about it. And after she died, I was able to make peace with it because I was able, in the back end, after she was already gone, to put myself in her shoes. And I guess always understanding that I think we're all trying to do the best we can with all the information and the knowledge and the experiences that we have.
Yeah.
And that's it. So
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mom. I'm grateful for you.
I'm very grateful for you and grateful for this community so much.
Thank you so much to everyone for sending in your questions and for letting us have the space to answer them. And we're so excited to answer more in the future. And I'm excited to hear your answers in the future as well, Mom.
Me too.